Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Dylan Bradshaw, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan.
You are the owner and creative director.
I love that creative director. Well, it sounds much, much more grandeur.
Exactly. Well, it suits you. Of Dylan Bradshaw Salon, DB Academy, and DB Face Cosmetics. So it's an empire that's expanding. And it's what's so funny with you, because I've met you down through the years many, many times. And, you know, obviously there's three Gertles working here, right? And
you were
waiting outside for a few minutes. I knew what was happening.
Three new clients.
I knew what was happening. They were immediately in for that. And there you had the iPad out and consultation. You can't move.
Just totally, I bring it with me everywhere. You know, I'm always in the...
Tell me, what were they asking you? What do they want to know now outside? You don't have to name names, but what do they want to know?
It's hilarious, actually. It's a bit like, I think it's probably like being like a doctor if you're out and have a few jars. Somebody goes, I've got this pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, do you think it's bad? So it's a bit like you get hair history.
Okay. What are the most common things that you're out for a few jars? What do girls, is it split ends? Is it colour?
Is
it body?
How can my hair grow quicker is the other one.
Is it?
Yeah, women want you to cut their hair longer. This is the latest craze, you know. I get women all the time, they come in and they're looking for a complete new look, but just take half an inch off, you know.
Okay.
That's so the most popular request.
The typical
for the industry, yeah.
A colour, would that be another thing? Do you think I should do this? Do you think I should
exactly,
do that?
Exactly, yeah, pretty much so. I have a little 1-800 helpline for most people. I give out the cards every
for
time.
For follicle emergencies. when you're sitting, I mean, we'll get down to, we're going to be talking about different things about CAO points and the Leaving Cert and
sure,
everything else, but just to kind of get an idea, when you're at the chair and you're sitting with a client,
mm-hmm,
and the client is sitting there going, do you know what? I'm thinking of doing the following. And you know that it's a disaster, right? You know that she shouldn't be that. Her face is all wrong, or her ears are this, and her head is that, and the nose is the other. You said, no, no. How honest can you be with this woman?
I think, to be honest with you, it's not one of these, it's not a slagging match. There, like, a woman has put in a lot of time,
sure,
and effort to come to the salon. Like, half of my business is from 32 counties, so we're not there to have a slagging match. What we're there to do is find the best look that I can find for that client, for that woman, that individual. So if they come in and they're looking for something, I don't think it's the right, I'm going to say to them, well, look, you know, this mightn't work for you, but let's think about another way to go about it and to improve on it,
yeah,
and to, you know, make the hair feel better. And the most important thing for your listeners, if they go to their salon, is it's important that they have a haircut that grows out well and they manage well and it, you know, lasts for them. There's nothing worse than having a haircut and you go and blow dried and you go home and you shampoo it and you never see it again.
Yeah.
So it's very important for a woman when she goes to her salon that she asks them to be realistic about something that she can wear every day.
Would you be okay if somebody, after you've put, say, an hour and a half into a do or whatever,
sure,
you call,
yeah,
style, I should probably say,
do, <yeah. laughs>
do 1980s.
We've moved on a little since then. I hope I'm not doing do's. I don't think I'll be in business much longer.
And they say, that's great. Thanks for your time there, Dylan. That's great. And but actually, I don't really like it. Are they honest back to you, or do you know?
You know, it's consultation is key, Ryan. You know, you don't go in and here's a picture and do that. You have to spend time with somebody. You really get to understand them. You, when you talk to them, you've got to find a little bit about their lifestyle, about, you know, their job, you know, what their expectations are, what they want to look for. And like, some people want to come in and, you know, unrealistically have a certain look to their hair and you,
yeah,
go, well, I can do it, but you'll never see it again, or it won't work that way, or your hair is finer, or it's so,
yeah,
it's consultation. You don't promise somebody something that's not going to, you can't deliver, or it's not realistic. For
have you ever
want.
Made a woman cry? On the chair. And the,
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I've got to qualify that. Have you ever seen a woman...
On the chair.
Have you ever seen a woman, tears coming down her cheek going, just getting it wrong?
Obviously, she was so emotional, she loved it
That's
so much.
I'll take that. So listen, your academy, Dylan Bradshaw Academy, you're accepting applications to the City and Guilds Hairdressing Diploma. And, you know, this is something I presume that, you know, you need to tell people about points-wise. Don't be panicking. There's so many roads open to you.
There's so many. I mean, from my point of view, my journey, my story was different. I wasn't academic in school. And, you know, when we're talking about the decade of the do's, I was, in school. I wasn't getting on that great in school. And I went off to do hairdressing. Now, purely accident, my mum got me the job and she thought it was a great way for me to just kind of, you know, to have a trade. But it's progressed so much and it's changed so much. And
how did you manage that? So where did your mum get you the job?
She got me a job in Peter Markins and Leary's shopping centre. So I went in for a haircut, and I was a bit like one of those kids that you got your head sheared twice a year from the local barbers. So she sent me up to get a haircut there, and I was 15, and she said, look smart and wear a shirt. So I went in, and the next thing I got my haircut, and her regular hairdresser looked after her, and then she said, oh, the boss wants to have a word with you. So he came down and says, I believe you want to be a hairdresser. And I was like, ah. But I remember this.
And it was news to you.
Big breasted, short skirt girls working in the place. And I just said, I'll give it a go. Yeah, you know, so.
What part of that? Where did it all go wrong?
That was my way in, you know. That was the way I really enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's quite the entree. And you're 15, 16 thinking.
Absolutely. You're in a Christian Brothers school for the last.
I've arrived.
Yeah.
So it progressed anyway. And you obviously worked the Peter Marks. But when did you hit New York?
I went to New York in 94.
Oh, right, so quite early.
Yeah. So when I was 21, I went over there. I just thought it was a really good opportunity just to kind of hone the skills a little bit, you know.
Yeah, what are they like in New York? I mean, what class of lifestyle do you lead in New York then at that stage?
It's great. To be honest, it was like I was broke. I hadn't got a penny, you know. You work there. It was really, really enjoyable to do. But I learned an awful lot about service, which is really, really exciting, you know.
Like what?
Well, you know, the Americans really get the service thing right. You know, Ireland didn't really know much about service in those days. Like, you know, when I worked in a salon, people were smoking over clients' heads and, you know, holding a cigarette on the edge of the worktop and stuff. It was a different type of thing. So when I went
away, they were definitely getting the do then.
They were getting the do on the barnage.
So meanwhile, back in New York.
No, it was brilliant. It was a great experience. But when I came back, you know, I knew that it was time for me to kind of really settle down. So I came back. I worked in Peter Mark for a short period of time. Then I went to work in Reds for 4 years. And then I opened my own salon. Yeah. And that was great for me. I had won a few awards. I was starting to make a name for myself in the town. And then I kind of started working with the Coors. They were great for me. When I opened the salon, they literally came down on the open night. I mean, we got the front cover of the Herald for the opening night of the salon. Yeah. It was myself and the Bandit. And it literally is built from that for the last, you know, 15 years now, you know. So I've built it. The thing is,
they have great hair, by the way.
They do. They're great people.
They're great hair. Yeah. You must have been thinking. You see the chorus coming through the door, going, "Yeah, that's good." Now.
It was great. Yeah, absolutely. But from that, anyway, you know, I did a lot of work with L'Oreal. I worked. I work internationally all over the world, doing a lot of education for L'Oreal, and that kind of led me into the academy because it was just about. I've been educating for people for so long. I really wanted to put our own stamp on it. And
do you like
Dylan
that
Bradshaw
aspect of it? Then teaching. People.
I love it.
You like being in?
Yeah, because it. I think in the old days, you know, hairdressers were kind of seen as, you know, uneducated and, you know, are you going on your holidays? Are you going out tonight? It's just the stereotypes, you know. So there's a lot more to it, you know, and there's a lot more education to give. And you can make a really good living in this and you can travel all over the world. And it's one of the most exciting jobs. I mean, I've been blessed. I've worked all over the world. And I've looked after some great people and over the years, and it's been.
Do you want to drop a few names for us here? I mean, there's some of the clients down through.
I mean, Mrs. Beckham I've looked after, and God, you know, I've pretty much looked after supermodels like Helena Christensen, Christy Turlington, you know, a few of the lads like Fassbender, and you know, those sort of guys. So, you know, listen.
We're not dealing with muck here, are we? I mean, how was.
Well, they love the dudes, you know.
They obviously big fans. Well, Fassbender definitely would love a good dude. He's a great
character.
And fun with it.
Yeah.
And decent with it, too.
Funny, I was working on a job with them doing a shoot with Barry McCall, and I drove him and his mum and dad back into town.
Fassbender.
They're great.
To get the lift in.
To get the lift in.
Yeah. Why would you need a taxi when you've got. You know, and then someone like Victoria Beckham. Working with her, is she something very, very, very pleasant? I always hear people going, she's this, that, and the other.
No, in fairness, you know, like, to be honest with you, you're not there to make friends. You're there to impress them with like a good job, and that's what I do. I'm not there to kind of, you know, get selfies with people. I just go and do the job and make sure the job's done really well and the best of my ability professionally wise.
Do you worry that the more internationally well-known head, if you like, the more nervous you get, or is every head ahead for you?
No, everybody's the same. You know, at the end of the day, actually, in fairness, I find it even, it's the world is changing out there a little bit. You nearly find the less celebrity, the more demanding, actually, because they're... Everything's so instant, they just think everything's free or whatever. So without being, you know, having a go at anybody, I definitely think the real kind of the bigger celebrities are tend to be much, much easier, you know?
We have I have a belief system sometimes in interviewing famous people is that the bigger the star, the smaller the ego. And the smaller the star,
oh my
the
God.
Bigger the ego.
I've got 20,000 followers on my, you know, on my Twitter, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that kind of thing you're dealing with. So, I mean, you know, I'm really, really lucky. I've learned an awful lot from these people and from the industry as well. And we bring that back to the salon and Dylan Bradshaw, you know.
The idea of the hairdresser, the kind of camp job.
Stereotype,
the, yeah. You're getting there, you're going away for your holidays, has gone. What's it moved into? Is it more sophisticated?
For us in the businesses, I mean, if I heard one of the team say that, they'd be in trouble, you know.
What about the holidays?
Yeah, it's just we've more to give, and I just don't want it to be a stereotype all the time. We're smart, intelligent people. We're actually really, really gifted, and it's a craft. You know, it's a really good skill, and I almost think sometimes we sell ourselves too cheap in this industry, in this country, because, you know, if I work in New York, or if I work in Milan, or I work in Paris, and I'm doing Fashion Week, or I'm doing shows, or whatever, I get such, you know, you get such credit for what you do. But sometimes we tend to think a little bit like it's a bit diddly eye or something, that we're not good enough at what we're doing. And at Dylan Bradshaw, I mean, we're very busy salon, and we have all walks of life that come in the door, let me say. It's like every type of client, but they want a good service and a good experience, and they demand it because they're paying a premium for the experience.
It brings us back to the word service and New York, which is a city I love to go to, because everything is possible. You know, and it's the can-do thing in New York. It just blows my mind every time. Yeah, you know, from the hotel
but
desk.
The best hairdressers in New York are all expats. There's no good American hairdressers.
Is that right?
That sounds terrible. They're all expats, yeah, absolutely.
Because all Irish? Or expats, you mean?
Sorry, I just meant from UK, Ireland. That's
okay, non-American.
Non-Americans, I meant to say. Sorry, because they have much better training, much better education. When you go to the Americans, it's their hairdressing and beauty school for 6 months, and then they're unleashed into the big bad world with sharp instruments on there.
And a blunt scissors. Okay. Yeah. And plenty of tears then. So what would you say were the key elements that you learnt service-wise from the American experience?
Well, look, the thing about it is the client comes first. Genuinely, the client comes first. You know, we do everything we can to give the client a great experience and to really take them away. Even like we expanded in a recession. You know, I went from a 1,500 square feet employing 22 in the middle of the recession to a 10,000 square foot salon employing, you know, 50 odd.
Yeah.
So we use it to our advantage. Like, I really agree that that you can, if you look after your clients well, they'll repay you back, you know, by visiting the salon.
By loyalty.
And telling people about it and the whole thing. So it's a treat for clients to come up. They want to, you know, give themselves 3 or 4 visits a year and say, you know, I deserve this. This is something I deserve. And we want to give them that treat back, you know.
So what about the guy or the girl sitting in the back, sitting at home now, 17, 18 years old, waiting for the dreaded or exciting leaving cert results? Didn't really consider hairdressing, but it might be there, thereabouts in
the
back of their mind.
I would say to anybody, like, we have an open day on the 7th of July, which is on a Tuesday, and it's from 10 a.m. There's one slot and 2 p.m. And they can contact academy@dylanbradshaw.com or ring and ask for Alison. But there is an open day, and basically we'll have our team will work there, an interactive day with our educators, with the guys, and they have the half a day to kind of just feel, have a look in the experience. But let me say, just on the last course that we did, we had an accountant, who fully qualified accountant. We had a nurse that was on it, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the third, but three mature students who just wanted a complete change of career. The great thing about working at Dylan Bradshaw Academy is we give you the ethos of working at Dylan Bradshaw Salon. So we combine them with the salon experience as well. Like, the education by far is the best in the country. I genuinely believe that. I'm not just saying it because we run our salon the exact same way as we run our education. But it will give these people a great insight into, you know, moving on when they qualify after 18 months, and that they can move on and move forward on. And also, everybody that's done our courses have jobs straight away after it. If you have a Dylan Bradshaw on your CV, you're at the top of the CVs when they go in, or if you're doing a trade test. It really is.
Cancer, you'll get a
gig
out of it.
It makes a huge, huge difference, you know.
What would you say to the student whose parents are very keen that they go to college and get a degree of whatever it is, and the young person is saying, that's the last thing in the world. I'm not that academic. I'm not really interested. I want to be a hairdresser.
Academia is not for everybody, as you know. And, you know, I'm not knocking academia. But for me, you know, a skill set is much more important, and a creative level that you can create anything. Like, with my job, I can pretty much travel the world. I can go anywhere. But I can also do, you know, music videos, TV, film. You know, you can go down, work in a local salon. You can work in a Dylan Bradshaw salon. I mean, you've got many, many options that you can do, but it can take you around the world to do what you do. At the end of the day, you're starting off with an incredibly strong foundation if you're working at Dillon Branch Academy. That's what I would say.
And that's the lesson learned today. Dylan, it's been good to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
And thanks a million for coming in, because you obviously have this evangelical feel about it. No, I like that. It's passionate and it's infectious. So hopefully the people listening this morning will think, yeah, that's something I hadn't really thought about before, and we'll think about it now.
Can I just cut in just for one sec? Sorry for a sec, but just to let everybody know that it's an international qualification with the City and Guilds qualification in it. It starts off a deposit of 2,200 and it's 500 a month after. It's just for anybody who wants to, a little bit unsure, but if they want to contact the Academy, please do at the academy@dylanbradshaw.com.
Sounds good. Dylan, thanks for coming in today.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks, pal.